Good evening.
Good evening.
Right now, you're the only one on.
Okay.
I hope you had a good day.
I did. Busy, like always, trying to pack for the trip. And I had a doctor appointment, too. Well, Tony and I both did. A 6-month checkup with the ear, nose, and throat doctor.
I understand.
And, not a full day.
Oh, there always seems to be full days these days, isn't
it? I know.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join us in saying the Anapapoa. Anapapoa. Gedula chimin sa tati sera. Alephet gimel yutta sadi. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tahareinu no ra. Truth and science in Tehnun. Na gibor dorshechutcha kevavat sham leim. Nun gimel dalad, yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tami gam lem. Betet resh, tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh, birov tucha, na el adata. Tet Kuf Bet, Tet Nun Ayin. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zohrei Kedushata. Yud Gimel Lamed, Hei Zayin Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the twins, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion spell the Hebrew word Raz, meaning secrets. The gematria of Raz is 207, which is same gematria as the Hebrew word for light, or. And the two phrases, Ein Sof, endless world, and Adon Olam, master of the universe. Shabbatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea. Talumo, Shin Kufav, Tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate the right column energy from the left column energy of this creation. We'll use the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohe Wahe. Adonai Yohe Wahe El Rachum Vechanun Erech Apaim Virav Chesed Ve'emet Notzer Chesed Lalafim Noseawon Wafesha Vechata'a Venake. We're now going to connect to the energy of the goat through the year 5777 that has this same energy. We will be studying two different verses to connecting to this energy. The first we study is Lamentations chapter 3 verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Satz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we can permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as at sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, the year of the goat. The letters of that name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, which is the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to it. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat willo yachlu lehashi et kol ha'olot vayachaskum Achechem halvim ad kilot hamlacha v'ad yitkachu hakohanim ki halvim yishrei leval lehitkadesh mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these 25 words, we're able to parse them or permute them into eight names of God. Adonai, oh hey, wah hey, la la hey, wah wah wah, yo la yo, a la me, hey hey hey, a ka a, ray ka ha. The second verse that connects to this year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai, ad yohewa he, ad ead ki biya yohe, Adonai yohewa he, tzur olamim. The year 5775, the year that swallows death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse we study, connecting to the year 5775, is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiyam asher yitchabe sham ushavtem elai el nachom v'halakti yitchem v'chayayim yeshno. Ba'aretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. The third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yom ru'ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. That is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachtav v'lo yirgaz. Od v'lo yosifu b'nei avla l'anoto ka'asher b'rishona. We'll now read a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidhilu erchimu dhilu dhilu erchimu le'achta l'shem yud he b'vav he v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maase yadeinu konane aleinu maase yadeinu konaneu. Rabbi Abba amar bekama atar tane nan dekucha parichu koma diaved leila witata kola ihu yeshot diovada dikshot. Beleid lach mila bialma, divae barnash, bedach ya leya, mineya ulanhaga, beya kalana, deha kaukulu, ovada, dikshot inun, wikola itsterich, bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim tzaddikim who chose to leave this day. Which is the 15th day of Sivan. Yehuda ben Yaakov Avinu, the progenitor of the tribe of Yehuda, the forefather of all of the Jews. Rabbi Yedida Raphael Chai Abu Lafia, Rabbi Shalom Shekalo, in the eighth verse of the Anah B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class is our advanced reincarnation series. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the 11th row, I believe it is, the second column from the left, and that will open up into the landing page for the advanced reincarnation class. And I believe that today's class is you click on 8E, which will open up to chapter 7. It's not class 9A, which opens up to chapter 7, section 7. And if that's incorrect, Hannah, please let me know. The name of the section is Level 3, Splinters. The third level constitutes those souls that fell amongst the Klipot after Adam sinned, from which came his son Seth and others. These are old souls and the lowest of all of the types, because they fell from Adam and splintered into many sparks and pieces as a result of his sin. Since these souls had once been part of Adam, they are called old, meaning from a previous Gilgul. Their residence within Adam is considered a first incarnation. When they were within Adam, they could have become rectified if he had not sinned. Consequently, their residence within Adam is considered a first incarnation. When any of them will come again into the body of a mortal human being, it will be the second incarnation of that soul, or possibly the third. When they come back in the body of a person who later dies, the soul is considered to have reincarnated twice. Now, when a soul from this level comes into a body for the first time, it only has the ability to rectify a portion of the soul in each reincarnation. This information is in most of the rest of this section has already been taught previously. Indeed, this section is a wonderful summary and a review of much of what has preceded it. The serious student might take the opportunity after this section to reread the preceding chapters. In the beginning, only a portion of the nefesh will come to be rectified. For example, if the nefesh was from the malchut of the nukva of Asiyah, then rectification will be necessary until the keter of the aliyah is completed. each part, actually that word should be asiya, the keter of the asiya. Each part must be rectified until the tikkun of the entire nefesh is completed. When this has been accomplished, then the person will die and return in a second body with the ruach in order to complete its tikkun. When that tikkun is accomplished, then the person will die and return in a third body with the neshama to achieve its tikkun. When this is done, then he too will die. However, no more reincarnations will be necessary. The nefesh needs to reincarnate as many times as it is necessary until it achieves rectification. We have already explained that when the ruach comes to be rectified, it does so clothed within the nefesh of a convert. The same is true regarding the neshama as well. Since a tainted ruach or neshama cannot come back clothed within a rectified nefesh or ruach, if the nefesh does not complete the tikkun, then it needs to reincarnate as many times as it is necessary until it achieves rectification. And after that, the ruach will come into another body with the nefesh of a convert and will reincarnate by itself many times until it is complete. After that, the neshama will come by itself in yet another body, reincarnating many times if necessary until it is complete. If the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama are rectified, and then the person sins, causing a blemish to them, which necessitates reincarnation, as we have described, he will only be able to rectify either the nefesh or the ruach or the neshama each time. He will have to start again, but he cannot return with all three of them. There are those that reincarnate to rectify and guide the people of their generation. However, it may be that a person rectifies the nefesh, ruach, and neshama to the heights of atzilut, and he reincarnates not for his own sake, but for that of another. Since he neither sinned nor caused a blemish, he can retain in this Gilgul even while still only a child all that which he achieved previously. This is the secret of the son of Rav Hamuna Saba, mentioned in the Sohar in the Parasha of Balak, and the rest of the phenomenally righteous and wise children mentioned in the Zohar. They were complete from previous Gilgulim in all their nefesh, ruach, and neshama, and other parts that were already rectified. This is new information, but it is surprising. If he is not coming for his own sake, but for someone else, then why is he reincarnating? And if he is coming as an Ibur, we have learned in Chapter 5, Section 1, and also in Chapter 38, that an Ibur comes only after the age of 13 years and a day. To clarify this problem, we will translate a section from the Sefer HaGilgulim, the beginning of chapter 12, where the words of the Rav are more detailed and clearer. There are those that reincarnate for the sake of others, to rectify and guide the people of their generation. Since people like these are perfect tzaddikim that may have merited even the neshama of Atzilut or similar very high levels, they do not need to reincarnate for themselves. They only reincarnate for the needs of the hour for the sake of others, to rectify and guide the people of the generation. These people can certainly achieve all their nefesh, ruach, and neshama together at one time, and all their other parts that were already rectified as well. This is the reason that we find young children whose deeds are wondrous, like the son of Rav Hamuna Saba in the Zohar by Efi, who is also the child in Zohar Parashat Balak, and all the other wonder children throughout the Zohar. These did not come to complete themselves, but for others. Therefore, they achieved Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, and all that they had accomplished beforehand in one time. And that is why they were different and wondrous in wisdom. I, Chaim, the writer, am in doubt, however, regarding those who must reincarnate, but not to rectify a sin, but to make up for a lacking. They had not yet fulfilled some positive mitzvah, as opposed to actually transgressing a negative mitzvah. The question here is whether they will return with all of their previously acquired levels or not. In Sefer HaGilgulim, in the chapter just quoted, the Rav answers this question in the affirmative and unequivocally. My commentary. The idea that someone would reincarnate to help others is truly amazing. We must be very careful with this concept. We are created as a desire to receive. How can we do something that has no benefit to ourselves? We are taught in Kabbalah that our purpose in this world is to transform our desire to receive from selfishness to sharing. Clearly, there is a benefit to doing so. Even if the benefit is unclear to us, there is a benefit. This is not altruism. In fact, one of the deeper teachings in a Kabbalah is there cannot be altruism since our essence is desire. This applies even to the idea of Torah lishma, Torah for its own sake. One cannot share even with the Creator without receiving. Thus, the idea of sharing with the Creator is considered receiving. This idea applies also to a subject in the Talmud dealing with engagement and marriage. Normally, the groom gives a ring to the bride. Yet the subject is discussed that if the groom is a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, a wise person, the bride may give him the ring. By giving the ring, she receives the engagement, and thus the action is considered a kosher marriage. And this takes a significant amount of contemplation. A human being is incapable of altruism, doing a sharing action without a desire to receive. There is a modern school of Kabbalah that translates the words of their teacher using the word altruism. This is impossible. So let me be clear. The teacher is teaching truth. The translation is a corruption, since the understanding of the English word altruism is not well understood by the translator. That is why my teachers and I use the exact term desire to receive in order to share. This teaches us to be exact in our use of language, as well as to not think we understand when we use a translation. That's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? Chapter 7, Section 8, Spirit from the Depths. For third level souls, meditation in the Tachanun prayer enables the coming of the Ruach, even while the Nefesh has not been completely rectified. Now we will explain the differences between level 2 and level 3 souls. The Ruach of level 2, made up of sparks from Cain and Abel, cannot emerge from the depths of the klipot until the nefesh is rectified. Therefore, the tikkun to the ruach cannot occur through another person, but only through himself. He must either die, and his nefesh and ruach will afterwards come back in another body, as it was explained previously, or he can do it by himself with the meditation on the verse, "My nefesh has desired you at night," Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. After the nefesh is rectified, it will leave, and the ruach will come by itself to become rectified, as mentioned earlier. It is likewise with the neshama. However, the sparks from level 3 have a different ability. Although they cannot achieve all levels in one lifetime, they can achieve tikkun using the proper meditations during the Tachanun prayer. For those of you unfamiliar, the Tachanun prayer is a part of the afternoon service. And it's a series of prayers that are said after the Amidah of the afternoon service. In other words, the souls of level 3 can grow from nefesh to ruach in one lifetime using the proper kavanah during the Tachanun prayer. Tachanun is recited most weekdays during the morning and afternoon prayers and is a request for forgiveness of sins. In some communities at this time, it is customary to place one's forehead on the arm for a portion of this prayer, like one who is distraught and looking for forgiveness. The actual term the Rav uses in the text is nafilat apayim, which means falling on the face. And this is a common nomenclature of the prayer as well. However, since Tachanun is a more commonly known terminology these days, that term is used in the translation. He would mediate or meditate that he was entering into the lowest realms to extract from there the remnants of holy sparks. It was once customary that the person who was praying would fall prostrate on his face during this prayer. At that time, he would meditate that he was entering into the lowest realms. The realms of the Klipot to extract from there the remnants of holy sparks on their way to rectification. In our days, this practice is considered too dangerous because the soul of the one who is praying may get caught there. Therefore, at most, in some communities, people place their forehead upon their arm. In other communities, the prayer is merely recited in a sitting position. During the falling on the face prayer, they can meditate that they are extracting their ruach from the depths of the klipot. This works even if the nefesh is not yet fully rectified to ascend in the secret of mayim nukvim. This meditation is in the verse, "To you, God, I lift up my soul." In the prayer rite practiced by the Ari and consequently adopted by all of the Sephardic Jews and some of the Hasidim, this psalm is in place of Psalm 6 as the basic text of the Tachanun prayer. His ruach is simultaneously being rectified in the body of another person. His ruach can then come during this life, his lifetime, into the body of another person who is born in combination with the nefesh of a convert. If he merits it, then it is possible to draw it into his own son, born to him. Therefore, even while the person is rectifying his own nefesh, in his own body, his ruach is simultaneously being rectified in the body of another person who has the nefesh of a convert, or if he merits it, within the body of his own son. Through the meditation of the falling on the face prayer, only the ruach can be withdrawn from the klipah before the rectification of the nefesh is completed. This process of drawing out a higher level of soul under the nefesh, or before the nefesh has completed its tikkun, only applies to the level of ruach. Under no circumstances can the neshama be drawn from the depths of the klipot until the nefesh and the ruach have been completely rectified. And those people who had the nefesh and the ruach must die. Afterwards, the neshama can come in a gilgul to achieve tikkun. My commentary. This is one of the interesting aspects of the Kabbalah Center and its teachings, which are different than other paths of Kabbalah. The Kabbalah Center teaches that lighting a candle the night before for the Hilulah of a Tzaddik creates a condition that makes the Tachanun prayer unnecessary. They do not say even when asked, yet this Tzaddik must replace the ability to draw out of the Ruach prior to the completion of the Tikkun of the Nefesh, as taught in this section. This is an important teaching with respect to the Hilulah connections of all of the various Tzaddikim. It is why I strongly suggest that one read the names of the Tzaddikim who choose to leave on a particular day, since that day and that Tzaddik may be your channel to elevate your Ruach as described above, even if you do not do the Tachanun prayer. It's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? Chapter 7, Section 9, Rescuing Spirits from the Depths. When the Ruach is drawn down during the Nafilat Apayim meditation, while the Nefesh is still completing its tikkun, then there are dangers for the one who has the Nefesh. During the resurrection of the dead, the Nefesh and the Ruach will both arise within him. There is yet another thing to be clarified regarding this matter of the Ruach and the nefesh that was just discussed. Since they can both come into the world in separate bodies, they are judged against each other in terms of who finishes his tikkun first. If the person who received the ruach completes his tikkun prior to the person with the nefesh, then he becomes the main one. Therefore, during the resurrection of the dead, the nefesh and the Ruach will both arise within him. However, if the one who possessed the Nefesh finished his tikkun first, then I, Rabbi Chaim Vital, do not recall what was said. However, it seems to me that I heard that during the resurrection of the dead, they arise into the body that possessed the Nefesh, since he became the main one. There is another important distinction regarding the person who took Ruach during Nafilat Apayim, before the final tikkun of the Nefesh. We have learned that if he completes the tikkun of the Ruach before the one who has Nefesh completes his tikkun, then it may be that he will arise in the time of the resurrection of the dead with both the Ruach and the Nefesh. In such a case, there exists a very serious danger for the one who had the nefesh. In such a case, if the person merits through his actions, he can draw all the good of the ruach to himself, and leave the other evil. The nefesh will lose all his merits to the one who is completing the ruah. In other words, the one who had the nefesh will lose all his merits to the one who is completing the ruah. The first will be left with evil only. Therefore, he will not arise in the time of the resurrection, and all his good and his merits will go to the second one who has rectified the ruah. This is the secret of the verse. Let the evils of the wicked finish them, but you will establish the righteous. One whose deeds make him evil, he will finish by taking all the evil to himself. This is what it says, let the evil of the wicked finish them, while all the good is taken by the righteous person whose actions have purified him. Thus he is finished and totally established, as it says, you will establish the righteous. It is known that a person is a combination of good and evil, purity within klipa. Sometimes the evil is greater than the good, and the evil that is within him must be purified until all that remains is completely good. There are several mechanisms to accomplish this purification. What the Rav is having us contemplate here, since the evil is greater than the good, seems to be one of the more unpleasant possibilities. Thus I have heard from my teacher, may his memory be blessed, though I did not merit to understand this well. However, it seems to me that it is possible for the evil of the nefesh and the ruach to come together into one person whose actions are evil, and for the good of the nefesh and the ruach to come to someone who has purified his actions, as mentioned before. Knowing this, you will be able to understand in the next section the danger faced by King David. My commentary. Kabbalah teaches that everyone will be resurrected. Yet here it seems that it is possible for someone to not be resurrected. This issue relates to the body only, not the soul. Yet this is a very serious issue. The soul is considered the level of Zeranpin. The body is considered to be the level of Malchut. The soul is never destroyed. The body dies. What is the purpose of creation? Something from nothing. It is the creation of desire. If desire is the purpose of creation, then the body is the important aspect, at least as important as the soul. Thus, the loss of a body being resurrected is quite significant. There must be a solution to this issue. Perhaps this will be discussed or revealed later in the study. And as we were reading tonight, I'm going to express an unwritten commentary. There are some Jewish people who, for whatever reason, find that their bodies have been cremated. We know that that's not recommended under Orthodox Jewish law, but we do know that it does happen from time to time. What occurred to me is that the aspect of burning the body is a cleansing associated for that body, a cleansing for the evil that was that had been resurrected into that body. And thus the soul is then freed from that evil, and the righteous part of that soul gets elevated even more. I don't know if this is a true statement, but it is what occurred to me, and it's something I felt the need to express. That's the end of section 9. Does anyone have any questions? I'm going to stop the class here because we really do not have the time to complete section 10 tonight. So we will do that next week. Does anybody have any questions? Our class in a little over, an hour and a half will be our Zohar class, so I hope you'll join us for that. And if not, I hope you have a beautiful Shabbat. Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.